You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
Oregon's down by 12. They're on the 45-yard line with no timeouts.
Oregon's got an all-American field goal kicker.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
Bet with an edge.
He'd find out the kind of inside stuff nobody else knew, and that's what he put his money on. He even figured out the different bounce you got off the different kinds of wood they used on college basketball courts, you know?
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
A friend of mine is very smart, said I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
This is when I tell you that it's a phenomenal time to be a sports bettor with the Masters. The start of the baseball season, NBA playoffs a week away, the NFL draft in less than 3 weeks. Morning, it's Joe broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. Early Odds back in our normal Saturday morning time slot of 8 to 9 a.m. A lot of baseball betting this morning. If you missed last week's season preview with The Athletic's Michael Beller, Early Odds pod available to download. We've hit the last two full season World Series winners, so it could be worth your time. But as far as this week, we've got another friend of the show dropping by. Ryan Horvath of BetMGM tonight. You could hear it here in Chicago, 6 to 10 p.m. weeknights, and sometimes on 670 The Score after a game. I figure, what better time to talk to Horvy? We had the tournament wrap up, and now we're in the thick of it with the Masters. We had opening day the other day with Major League Baseball. We're 1 week away from the NBA playoffs. Finally, getting started. Feels like a slog. I'm like, can we just fast forward a week, get this thing started already? What's up, Ryan?
Yeah, thanks for having me. And exactly, I mean, we got the Masters going down this weekend. Obviously, we had a great tournament. I mean, the Final Four was great. National title game was outstanding. And then, of course, we have the NBA playoffs, which just need to get here, like you just said. I mean, this final week, 2 weeks of the season just drags, you know, especially if you like the bet on the NBA. It's so tough because you don't know the motivation for any of these teams outside of course, like the Detroit Pistons, who just do nothing but cover and win outright as underdogs. You know, some of those type of teams. Memphis has been awesome against the number all season long, but I'm just ready for the playoffs to get here.
Mm-hmm. It's all right to walk away, people. Like, I see people that bet on the NBA on a nightly basis, and I understand if that's your thing. Okay, cool. It's all right to just walk away. Instead of complaining about, oh, I had all these player props, they only played 20 minutes. Well, what'd you expect? There's no motivation there. And very few teams have any sort of motivation at this point. With all these options we have right now, I don't understand the inability to walk away. Let's start with Major League Baseball, since that's hot and heavy, and you're on the home of the Chicago Cubs, your favorite team. Let's start with them. We'll hit the Sox and then talk some World Series futures, awards, all that kind of good stuff. I think you have a lower expectations on the Cubs than I do. The win total opened at 73.5. It's been moved up. We can get into why, but it's been moved up a couple of victories up to 75.5. Did you play the Cubs win total? And what is your outlook for the season?
So I did not play the win total. If anything, I actually probably would have went over just because the NL Central is such a dumpster fire, right? Like Pittsburgh's going to be terrible. We know they're going to finish where they always finish, in the basement of the NL Central. The Reds, they're selling. They're not going to be any good. I have no clue. Like with the Cardinals, I like their lineup a lot, but I just don't trust their rotation, especially with Jack Flaherty already dealing with injuries. I think I did play the Brewers to win the division. I know it's really, really chalky, but you look at that pitching staff, man, you have Freddie Peralta, Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, you have Josh Hader, and if Devin Williams has a bounce back season, he was rookie of the year 2 years ago. I don't love their lineup because look what they add, like 45-year-old Andrew McCutchen, but I probably would have went over on the season win total, but like opening day, you know, they're showing the opening day lineup from last season. And it's just obviously I fell in love with those guys, man, because 2016 was the greatest year of my life. They won a year too quickly. Like I expected that to be a good 6-7 year run. So now it's over. And the opening day lineup, like that just hit me right in the face where there's no Chris Bryant, obviously no Anthony Rizzo, no Javi Baez, which I was fine with no Javi Baez. Contreras is still there, but you don't expect him to be probably after the deadline. And it's pretty much Kyle Hendricks and just a bunch of dudes. So I don't have high expectations. I was hoping that they were going to be able to do a little bit more. Obviously, you know, the Carlos Correa rumors were out there that they offered him a big deal.
No.
So I don't know, man. I guess I would probably, if I had to, go over the win total because it is so low and the Central is so bad. But yeah, I have no expectations whatsoever for this team. But you tell me you do.
Well, do you at least have a Suzuki NL Rookie of the Year ticket?
No, I don't actually. Do you?
Yeah, 5-1. And I think there's still a little bit of value.
I wanted a better price. I wanted at least like...
You're not getting one.
8-1, 9-1. Well, I guess, okay, so yeah. I almost played it just for a rooting interest for this team, but I did not. I just didn't like the price. But I don't hate the pick, and I would assume that he's probably going to win the award.
If you want a better price, AL Rookie of the Year. There are a ton of valuable prices over there. But as far as the Cubs do, high expectations, no. 500, don't expect it. My whole thing with the outlook on this Central, you're right. It's going to be the Brewers and both Centrals. We know who's going to win the two divisions, okay? It's probably a wrap, which doesn't make it too enticing, except for the fact that we'll have that extra playoff spot in each league. You can't be down on four teams. That's my whole problem.
Yeah.
And I hear some predictions, you have to be down on the Reds, you have to be down on the Pirates. Don't have a problem with that. But then they're also down on the Cubs and Cardinals. You can't do that. Somebody has to get wins in this division. And if you're worried about the health of the Redbirds' rotation with Flaherty and Reyes, that's certainly understandable. But you can't be down on four of the five teams in one division. Like, somebody's going to get the win. So that's why I understand why exactly that win total popped up a little bit. It does make a little bit of sense. It's not like the win total is saying that they're going to get into the 80s. It's a complete retool. I messed with you last year when you were so upset about the trades, which we all knew were coming. And there's a decent chance that it's going to happen again this year with Contreras or another player or two. That's going to be the interesting part, how they handle that. They do have some arms, some soft tossers that will probably get lit up this summer, but I just don't think they're a complete dumpster fire like I've heard others discuss.
Okay, yeah, I'll go. Maybe they won't be a complete dumpster fire. And I'm with you with the division with one team. So I did play the win total. I went over on the Cardinals just because history, the last 32 years of my life, tells me that they're going to be in contention come August. Maybe they get off to a slow start, man, because of the bullpen, because of the rotation, but they're going to figure it out. So I went over with the Cardinals. I think the Cubs win total is about right. And like you said, they do have some arms, but the problem is they're all the same arms. Like, does anybody throw 96 on this team? I love Marcus Stroman, my aunt's personal chef. But what does he throw, 95? Kyle Hendricks, I love him, man. I hope he has a bounce-back season. I think he's going to have a bounce-back season. But the ERA skyrocketed last season. I mean, he was just getting shelled last year. I mean, because he doesn't throw 96, 97. So that's my problem. Like, all the guys in the rotation are just kind of the same guy. So not high expectations. I'll be happy, man, if they could win 80 games. I'll just be happy if they're relevant for a couple months. So I have some enjoyable baseball to watch on the weekends when I'm on my couch.
In this National League, if they win 80 games, they might be in a conversation for a playoff spot. It depends how the league plays out. But yeah, we've seen teams win 90, like last year with the Mariners, and they didn't get in. But in this National League, there's that chance, even though it's the weakest division in the league by far. Well, the other side of town with the White Sox, they're also lucky. They're not as lucky as the Brewers, but it's not the strongest division. Now, the arrow is pointed up for a couple of these teams, but I don't see it being within, I don't know, double digits, even though they're dealing with multiple injuries, the pitching to start the season.
So I love the White Sox. I played the World Series future. I played the AL future, and I even laid the chalk. I would never lay minus 200, minus 190, but I'm going to do it because the AL Central, terrible. That being said, man, I really like the Tigers, but they become a trendy pick. I've been talking about the Tigers and Casey Mize for the last 2 years. Obviously, you know, they add Javi Baez. They make some moves this offseason, but I still think they're a year away. I just love AJ Hinch. I know that that might not be the most popular take, but I think he's a great manager.
It's an interesting take.
I think he should be the manager of the Chicago White Sox, and I would really love them this year. Here's the only thing I worry about, the health of this team. You know, this is the deepest, most talented team they've had in 17 seasons. I think they're deeper than they were last year, but the injuries are already hitting. You know, they trade away Craig Kimbrell, which I did like that move. I'm excited to see what Michael Kopech can do, man. If he's healthy, he's in the rotation. As of right now, last I saw, he's scheduled to start the home opener on April 12th, but how many pitches, how many innings is he going to be able to throw? Because I think he's going to be the X factor, especially with the injuries. I'm excited to see Giolito this season. He added 20 pounds of muscle, they're saying, which I don't even know how that's possible.
That's not a thing.
The lineup is stacked. Tim Anderson's probably my favorite player in all of baseball. Luis Robert, probably going to win AL MVP if he could stay healthy.
Ooh.
I think first things first, like, let's win a postseason series for the first time since, 2005? But if they stay healthy, I really like them, man. That being said, did play the win total over on the Twins. I think the Twins are going to give them a little scare this season. I think they're going to be better than people expect, not just because they spent money this offseason. But like you said, you can't be down on all four teams in the division. I think Detroit's just a little too young. And with the Guardians, I have no clue. I really have no clue. I mean, I love Shane Bieber, but I don't know what they're going to look like.
I was not expecting that Ramirez contract the other day.
No, not at all, man.
Okay, I thought he was going elsewhere for sure. You brought up the buzzy team that everybody's talking about in Detroit, and there are a couple of these, and usually we're on the same page with this. There are teams that get all the steam in the preseason. From my vantage point, it looks like there are three teams that are really getting talked up. Mm-hmm. And one, I don't care that they're being talked up. I still love them. We'll get to them in a minute. But the other two, one is Detroit, and the other team is also in the American League. All three are. It's Detroit and Seattle. While you might like the young talent, I like how the Mariners handled their offseason. They understand that last year was a bit lucky, possibly even fluky, and they added, including at the top of the rotation. I appreciate what they did, but they are a team that is getting way too much love for a squad that doesn't have much depth in the rotation.
Yeah, not enough depth in the rotation, like you said. And I did like the moves that they made, obviously, this offseason. I was rooting for them to get in last year. I've always kind of been like a closet Seattle Mariners fan, just because growing up, I feel like we all were. Like,
Junior?
Junior, A-Rod, Randy Johnson, Edgar Martinez. I just love those teams.
Yep.
I love the Robbie Ray pickup. I mean, I know he made you a bunch of money last year.
Love him.
I think they've become a little bit too trendy, and I think they're probably a year away. Like, I could see them finishing third or fourth in that division, and I could also see them winning the division. That's what's crazy about the AL. I thought you were going to go with the Blue Jays when you
That's the team I was alluding to that I don't care that everybody loves them. I still like them as well.
Okay, well, yeah, so I'm higher on the Blue Jays, man. In fact, I played them to win the division. I've considered the World Series future. I haven't because, again, it's becoming a little trendy. But you know what scares me is kind of what you were talking about with the NL, just the opposite in the AL. Like, the Blue Jays won, I believe, 91 games last season, and they still finished fourth in the AL East. Mm-hmm. Everybody's down on the Yankees, but if the Yankees stay healthy, just look at that lineup, man. Now, I don't love any of their starters. They're all kind of the same guy. Behind Gerrit Cole, it's like Jameson Taillon, and you never know what you're going to get with him. But the Blue Jays, that lineup is just stacked, man. They lose Marcus Semien, but they add Matt Chapman. I think he's going to have a bounce back season. Imagine if George Springer plays more than 78 games this season. He had a 907 OPS. Bo Bichette, I'm going to probably play him to lead the league in hits. And then I ended up keeping Vlad in my fantasy team, so I'm pretty jacked about that. I only had to forfeit a third-round pick. I bet you he's going to hit 45 to 46 homers. I hate that they lose Robbie Ray, but the rotation's fine. They add Kevin Gausman. So I love the Blue Jays. And they also have an advantage. Like, not enough people are talking about this.
Uh-huh.
Look at that division, man. Like, look at the Yankees. Like, what was everybody complaining about with guys like Anthony Rizzo? They weren't vaccinated. Mm-hmm. So now they played home games in, I believe, three different ballparks last year. So now they return full time this year to Toronto, and they have those strict COVID-19 protocols, which I'm not trying to get political here, but you have four teams within 9 games of each other last season. And now you have a super talented team, probably the most talented team in that division. And they're going to get shorthanded lineups, maybe 81 times against teams like the Yankees, Boston. So I played Toronto. I went over on the win total and took a little stab at them to win the division. So I'm higher on them than Seattle. I do like that Seattle team, man. I just think they're young.
I think the Red Sox are better than people give them credit for, but I'll sign up for playing the Red Sox without Chris Sale if he can't travel there.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, no, it's a huge advantage. And you mentioned the 91 wins where they finished last year in the AL East. You're right. Based on the runs that they scored and gave up, their Pythag was 99. They should have won that many games. They were extremely unlucky. And I don't think that's going to be the case this year. Kikuchi as your five? Okay. He's at the back end of the rotation. That's better than most fives across the league. So yeah, Toronto, I'm with you. The number's too short. I think we can get a better number throughout the season when they're playing all those tough games in division at 9-1, the best one that's available. I can't go there. Let's go up a little bit, not too far, because I've got, you know, some dart throws that I'm interested, want to get your thoughts on. But what about your old stomping grounds, my friend, Milwaukee Brewers? You can find at 16-1, and we went over how simple that path is in the NL Central.
We're doing the BetMGM MLB podcast, which you should subscribe to help feed my son. Leave a 5-star review and comment. It's myself and Cody Decker, and I went with my World Series pick. And I try to only make one pick. You know, I usually bet 2 or 3 futures, but as of right now, I've only played one, and it's, well, two. I got the White Sox, of course, and then I went with the Brewers in the National League, and he laughed at this. But I really like the Brewers, man. Again, I laid the chalk with them to win the Central. The only team that kind of concerns me is the Cardinals, but I like the Brewers this year. Now, what scares me is if you look at the lineup, they're old, man. Like Andrew McCutchen, they add, like, I feel like he's 45 years old. But
they got to give up some pitching for some hitting at some point.
They're going to have to, man. And that's the problem. But like, because that's what I love about this team is Craig Counsell. I think Craig Counsell, if he's not the best manager in all of baseball, I think he's the best manager in the National League because of the way that he uses his bullpen. And I know they've changed the rules here the last couple of years, but I love their bullpen. I love Josh Hader. It's too bad they like can't get Josh Hader regular season version of him in the postseason because he's had some struggles, but I think he's the best closer in all of baseball when he's right. Devin Williams, if he's not punching walls, is a perfect setup, man. I mean, he just won Rookie of the Year 2 years ago. So I love the bullpen. And then if you look at the rotation, like what wins in October, Freddy Peralta is their number 3 starter. He could legitimately win a Cy Young, man. He had Cy Young stuff last year.
Yep.
Corbin Burns is great. And then you have Brandon Woodruff, who I still feel is very underrated. So I love the rotation. Imagine if Christian Yelich could be half the player that he was 3 years ago. I don't know, man, the injuries. And I feel like he's been figured out a little bit. Anytime you have a back injury, like the power is clearly not there anymore, but still, if he could hit 280, 285, if Lorenzo Cain can stay healthy, I actually, you know, losing Avi Garcia, I think is going to hurt them. He led them in hits last year and RBIs. He was fantastic last season. I don't know what he's going to look like this year. I probably wouldn't have given him that money, but I think that's a big loss for the Brewers. Still, I do like them in the National League because I love that staff. I love that rotation. And they do have some arms and some guys in the farm system if they have to make moves for another bat that they can. And also, what if they get a bounce back season from a couple of these guys? Like Keston Hira was terrible last year, but look what he did this spring. And I don't want to overreact to what he did in the spring, but I think he hit 300 and hit 4 homers. And he was their top prospect just 2 years ago. And he had a pretty solid season a couple of years ago. So I think if he could have a bounce back year, I like the Brewers a lot this year.
All right. I love that. We're on the same page with Milwaukee. That's Ryan Horvat. I'm Joe Ostrowski. You also got our thoughts on the Cubs, White Sox, their divisions, and a few of the buzzy teams. Up next, a few more mid-range World Series angles, and maybe some buckets. I'm on Twitter, at Joe Ostrowski. Ryan, at Ryan Horvat. Makes sense. This is Early Odds on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. The Score listener line is open 24/7, 365, empowered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Welcome back on Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, 670 The Score. In addition to my weekday hits here on The Score, there's BetQL Daily, 8 to 11 a.m. on the BetQL Network. My guest, Ryan Horvat, handles BetMGM tonight, 6 to 10 p.m. You can hear the BetQL Network on the Odyssey app or on 105.9 FM HD2. You can watch it on Twitch. We just went over the Cubs, Sox, popular picks, and why we like Milwaukee. There's 3 to 4 more futures possibilities that we need to discuss, Horvy. Joe Giglio won't go in with me. He's my co-host, a Philly guy on BetQL Daily. And I bring that up because I'm picking the Phillies.
Yep.
Earlier in the week, you can get them around 30. The numbers dropped to 25. I don't want to face that rotation. Nola, Wheeler, Suarez, you bring in those elite bats. You remember on the north side, Schwarber, Castellanos. I'm worried about the defense. I think the issues with the bullpen are overblown because that's the toughest thing to project in this game. The Phillies are going to mash. The Mets are already metting, and the Braves are talented, and they should be up there at most books as the favorite. I understand why, but I'm expecting big things out of the Phillies this year. They should be in the dance.
Same here. And I expected big things out of them last year and they won 82 games. Right. But I mean, you got Bryce Harper, as you said, you bring in Kyle Schwarber. I think he's going to hit 40 bombs this season, especially in that ballpark.
Home run leader.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I did play that. So I'm glad. Yep. That was actually one of the first bets that I placed. And I love Nick Castellanos. So I love that lineup, man. Like Hoskins, Bryson Stott is going to probably play third base a little bit. I like him. So the first 7 spots of that starting lineup is set. And I think they're going to score a bunch of runs. I'll be playing a ton of team totals. I went with them to win the division because of what you said. Like the Mets are already dealing with injuries. Who knows when DeGrom's coming back? They're saying June, but I don't expect him to be right this season. And then the Braves are going to be great. The Braves might be better than they were last season, but they did lose a lot. I mean, they did lose Freddie Freeman. So I really like the Phillies, liked them last year. I like the rotation, even though they're pretty much running the back with the same dudes. You have Wheeler. And also Suarez was great down the stretch last
year. Yes, he was.
So if Ranger Suarez could have that type of season like he did last year down the stretch in the second half, I love the Phillies. I haven't played the World Series future, but I did pick them to win the division, and I did go over on the win total on them.
I want to throw another one from the NLE statue. I'm talking more so over win total, but I can see them squeezing into the playoff race, and it's a big number on them. That rotation for the Florida Marlins is strong. They've added some offense. That was the big issue a year ago, but this is a team that has a lot of upside.
Yeah, they really do, man. I love that rotation. So I haven't done any, and I also love no more Derek Jeter. Like their farm system remains one of the best, solid starting pitching, like you just said right there. So I like 3 guys in that rotation. Like, so I haven't played any Cy Young. I didn't play any Cy Young futures, but I was looking at Alcantara. The number was 16-1. Mm-hmm. Look at the ERA. You know, they haven't projected for around 325, 195 strikeouts. I think that he's going to be solid this season. And then, as you know, I love Trevor Rogers. I'm going to continue to play those strikeout props pretty much every outing. Yep. Last season, he was 7-8 and had a 264 ERA, 157 strikeouts. I saw Roto had him projected for like 172 this year. He's 30-1. And then Pablo Lopez is 50-1. So I like all 3 of those guys. I have 2 of them on my fantasy team, actually. I didn't do anything with the win total, but I think they're going to be a sleeper, sneaky team, you know, especially when you're getting them plus money as dogs. And I like all 3 of those arms. If you get a good price, maybe down the stretch for like a Cy Young sprinkler bet.
90-1 for the World Series. We batted around Alcantara most wins at 35-1 as a possibility on BetQL Daily. So maybe take a look there. A couple more teams I want to hit on. You tell me where you want to go, because I think this team is being overlooked after all the hype from last year. And that's the San Diego Padres. Or we can talk about last year's disappointment as a team, the Angels.
Okay. So with the Padres, I'm not going to play them to win the division, but I think they might be all right this season if they're able to stay healthy. Like if those arms are able to stay healthy. Blake Snell was pretty good the second half of the season. He was good at home. He struggled on the road. If they get a decent version of Blake Snell, if they get a healthy version of Yu Darvish, I think everybody's overreacting to the Tatis injury. I kind of like some of these young kids. I think they might be all right. I'm not going to do anything with the win total or play them to win the division. Now, you know damn well I did play the Angels. It's the fifth consecutive year. I want to see Mike Trout in the postseason.
Let's go.
I love Ohtani. I'll always love Ohtani, man, because of what he did for me last year, the 22-1 MVP bet that ended up hitting. And the only thing that concerns me with the Angels, the same thing that concerns me with them every single season, the rotation, the bullpen. Do you trust their pitching? Because I really don't. But I love that lineup. I think they're going to score a bunch of runs. I played them to win the division. I think if there's any year for the Astros to fade, this is the year. Not that like losing Carlos Correa is the biggest deal. I'll never forget the day that I celebrated Albert Pujols leaving the NL Central and then the Cardinals were in the World Series the next year. But still with the Astros, I think this is the year that you could sneak up on them. So I'm going with the Angels for the fifth consecutive season. I played them to win the division.
I do like the Padres. I think it's noteworthy that they're the 10th favorite this year after getting all of that hype. And as far as the Angels, we're on the same page. We talked about the Mariners getting way too much love.
Yep.
It feels like it's time for the Astros to come down a notch. Don't you feel better about the Angels going in this year? Because we were talking about that strong lineup that they have, and you'd name three guys. Well, this year, you're going to name five guys going in. And it's a lot of ifs. And I know the rotation is always a question mark with them, but it feels like they're in a better spot with Syndergaard. And if the rookie Reed Detmers can come through, the southpaw, that can be a big addition to them. So I just feel like they're in a better spot overall. And maybe it'll finally happen or wasted money again.
Yeah, I mean, they need Jose Suarez to be good. They need Michael Lorenzen to be good this year. They're going to need Thor just to stay healthy. I mean, when's the last time that he was healthy? So if he could stay healthy as their number two starter, him and Ohtani, I think this could finally be the year. And also, I'm a big Joe Maddon guy. I like Joe Maddon, especially with like a young team or a team that hasn't had success.
I like him in his second year. Don't you?
Know, that's what I mean. Joe Maddon, I feel like, you know, year four, year five, especially when you've had success or you've won a World Series, obviously, like the Cubs did with Joe Maddon, his message kind of like wears thin a little bit. You know what I mean? Like the rah-rah stuff. Guys are like, hey, man, it's 162-game season. I don't want to hear this on Sunday morning. You know what I mean? Like, get out of here. But with these teams like the Angels that haven't done anything, I think he's the perfect manager. Then again, I said that last year, but I think this is the year. I really do.
Horvy, we are 1 week away from the start of people will say the playoffs start early this week with the play-in, whatever. It really starts next Saturday.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. I debated this the other day on the show. How many can win the title this year? Because I think you can make a solid case and get out to eight. Others like, no, it's still four or five.
Yeah, that's a great question. Okay, so every year I can make the case for like two to three teams in the NBA, but this year it's a little bit different. There's tons of parity, and obviously like there's really not a super team because Brooklyn's been broken up and Ben Simmons most likely isn't going to play in the playoffs. I love Kyrie and I love KD. I think that's a sucker bet taking the Nets right now. I think it's insane that they have the third best odds right there. Pretty much the same odds as the Milwaukee Bucks, who are the defending champs and playing a great brand of basketball right now. I think the Bucks could legitimately win it all in the East because I think Giannis is the best player on the planet on both ends of the floor. And I think, you know, when we get to the playoffs, that's what matters, teams that actually defend. I think Drew Holiday is probably the best on-ball perimeter defender in the league. He's very underrated still. And then Chris Middleton, 60% of the games in the playoffs, Chris Middleton is going to be awesome. The other 40%, he'll struggle, but Giannis could take over those games. So I like the Bucks a lot in the East. I also really like Boston. The only reason, so I played Boston to represent the East in the finals, and I played them again at 9-1. And now obviously like that price is gone. But what concerns me is the Robert Williams injury. They're saying they expect him back for the second round. They need him, especially if they play the Bucks in a 7-game series. Like, who's going to stop Giannis? That's why the Bulls will never beat Milwaukee ever again, because Giannis could score 40 against them whenever he wants. He could just destroy Vooch, and that's what they've done. So I think in the East, I can make the case for the Bucks. Who knows? Maybe the Nets can get hot, man. But other than Kyrie and KD, I just don't think they have enough.
They can't stop anybody.
Exactly. They don't play no defense. And Joe Harris, that injury kind of killed them, actually. Philadelphia, I'm out on. I was in on them for like the first week of Embiid and Harden until they played the Knicks in three of those games. Uh-huh. Because, again, neither of those guys have ever got out of the second round. Well, Harden had the year where he went to the Western Conference Finals in Houston, but I just don't trust those guys. So for me, it's Milwaukee and Boston in the East, and then, of course, Miami. And the only thing that concerns me with Miami was that Jimmy Butler blow up a couple of weeks ago. You could say like stuff like that doesn't matter because he's so competitive, but I don't know, man. I don't know. In a playoff series against Milwaukee, who do you want your best player to be? Tyler Hero or Giannis? So I'm going to give the advantage to Milwaukee. So those three teams in the East, and then in the West, just two teams for me. I'm out on Golden State because we don't know when Steph's coming back and what he's going to look like. And Klay is not the same player that he was before the injury, nor Draymond with the back injury. For me, it's the Phoenix Suns, who are the most complete team in the NBA and the best bet right now to win the finals.
Especially if
you look at it last year. So if they had one more guy, because I love Luka. No, for me, it's Memphis. It really is. Like, Memphis has 21 wins this season without Ja Morant. They have wins without Desmond Bane, without Jaren Jackson. They're so deep. The only thing is they're so young. They've only been to the postseason together once last year, and they lost in the first round. In the NBA, you know, usually you kind of have to build up. Like, even Jordan had to lose to the Pistons a bunch of times. LeBron had to leave Cleveland after getting bullied by the Celtics. So for me, I'll go Phoenix and Memphis in the West, Milwaukee, Miami, and Boston in the East. And Boston is kind of like the sleeper team because we don't know about Robert Williams yet.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I'm kinder than you are. I'm being more generous. I'm giving the Nets that opportunity. What if they put together a strong week? And how quickly things change with Philadelphia, Golden State, if healthy, and I'm giving Dallas a chance since they have they do have that strength of that great defense, and they've been having different role players step up to play alongside Luka. So I think you can make the case at 7-8 range, but I certainly understand where you're getting at with 5-6. Either way, it's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait for that to start a week from now. Also, can't wait to bet against the Bulls in the first round. Am I right?
Oh, it's going to be too easy. I mean, at first it was like, okay, you just bet against the Bulls when they play good teams, you know, teams with above 500 records. Now I just fade the Bulls pretty much every single night. They can't defend, man. The Lonzo injury was huge. You know, I do want to see them run it back like fully healthy, because they lost Caruso for an extended period of time, Lonzo, all the guys that actually defend, Patrick Williams, but they're just so easy. Like, they're so easy to game plan against, man. You just put Vooch in pick and rolls and you just destroy them. And the non-Vooch minutes are just as bad because you have what's left of Tristan Thompson out there. I will be fading them. In fact, I'm going to play an exact series price, Bulls to get swept.
Series price, I'll lay the game and a half. We're going to hit it every which way, and we don't even know the opponent yet. Ryan Horvat, weeknights, BetMGM tonight on the BetQL Network. 6 to 10 p.m. Horvy, we always appreciate you dropping by at least once a month here on Early Odds.
Thanks so much for having me.
Ryan mentioned his podcast with Cody Decker. We all know Cody, host, regular guest here on The Score. And he was a guest the other day on BetQL Daily. We hit on league winners. And I figured Sox fans would enjoy this. Here you go.
I feel like there's no value in saying the Dodgers. There just isn't. They're far and away, on paper, the best team and the best odds to win the World Series, plus 500, in fact. But on the AL side, I'm really big on the Chicago White Sox. They're going to crush their division. I think Lucas Giolito is a sleeper, not even a sleeper. He's currently 10-1 to win the Cy Young. He is my American League futures pick to win the Cy Young. He's going to be signing one hell of a contract going forward. This is a team that's just going to be good. They don't need Lance Lynn to start the year. Dylan Cease is my strikeout prop king. Every single time he starts, he hits 10 Ks. I love this team offensively, as dynamic as it gets. They're young, and they are just ran by an old man that no one listens to. I love it.
For what it's worth, Cody is tight with Lucas Giolito, but we're thinking along the same wavelength with Cease. Not only K-props, he's a consideration for strikeout leader at 16-1. Fifth in baseball in K-rate last season, and they're going to need him to do more this year. The best White Sox to win the World Series number that I could find in Illinois, 12-1 at PointsBet. And what do you know? Jim Miller from PointsBet and Hawthorne is next to talk MLB division winners. This is Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, Saturdays 8 to 9 a.m. on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. It's time to elevate your live betting game, introducing PointsBet's new exclusive feature, Live Same Game Parlay for NBA. For the first time ever, build the perfect live same game parlay only with PointsBet. Combine your favorite bets anytime during the game, including spreads, totals, player props, and more. Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Welcome back here on Early Odds. Joe Ostrowski here, Sports Radio 670. The Score, back to our usual 8 to 9 a.m. slot now that the tournament is a wrap. And Jim Miller's weekly segment's not a wrap. He's our weekly contributor here. And he joins us, baseball on the mind, Jim. I know it was a bit staggered. There were games postponed back on Thursday. Didn't have that opening day feel, but baseball back in our lives every single day, which is a very positive thing.
Yeah, Joe. And the thing that I actually really like is the condensed schedule this year. I hate seeing three games and a day off, then four games and another day off. There's going to be so much baseball once they get into the summer. It's going to be so much fun. I think it's a huge advantage to those teams that play in warmer weather conditions, teams that play in domes, teams that are going to avoid weather-related cancellations, because you already have scheduled doubleheaders. You're already going to have this condensed schedule. You want to avoid as many makeup possibilities. So it's going to be a very interesting start to the season because it could have a really huge impact in the end.
All right. I know you have three of the six MLB divisions targeted. Why don't we start in our own backyard in the American League involving your White Sox? You think there's a play to be had in the American League Central? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm looking at value for division winners here, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm saying it could happen. So Look at what's happened to the White Sox. You have the Lance Lynn injury. You have the Garrett Crochet injury. Shockingly, their win total still sits right in 92.5, but here's the thing. The Sox are minus 200 right now to win the division. You know the Twins are going to be better this year, Joe. They have to be better. Their pitching is going to be the big question mark. Their offense is going to be there, but they are plus 500 right now just to win the division. And this is one of those things where if it comes down to the final month and they're still in contention, you never know what can happen. But we saw how injuries have plagued teams in the past. They've hit the White Sox a little bit early. I tend to think 5-1 on the Twins for the division provides a little bit of value.
I was curious, were you going Minnesota or were you going Detroit? Because there are a lot of people that follow the minors very closely, and they are so jacked about this Detroit Tigers team. But those people always think when those top prospects come up, they're just going to dominate and be automatic all-stars. It can take time. It's quite normal to go through those sorts of struggles. On Minnesota, you're right. They're going to be better. They did lose Cruz and Donaldson. They're younger. You've got Correa there, still Sano. Gary Sanchez added to the lineup. And let's not forget the guy at the very top in the MVP running before going down to injury after 61 games was Byron Buxton. So you're right about that lineup. You're right about that lineup. They can mash. I don't trust one starter in that rotation. And that's the problem. You can be concerned about your White Sox and the injury issues early on. The question mark that is Michael Kopech and all of that is fair to bring up. Last year, it was the health on the offense. And this year, it's going to be the health with the pitching. But the thing is, up in Minnesota, while they can score, they just, who do you trust? You trust Sonny Gray, the rookie Joe Ryan, Chris Archer? There's nobody since they moved Barrios last season.
And that's the thing about it, and that's going to be the biggest question mark, is you're going to have not only health, but you're going to have some bounce-back seasons. And like you said, the Tigers, everybody talks about the youth. The youth, when you get to the bright lights, can be something that's very scary. The Twins do have a lot of established veterans, and they've gotten younger. The health of Buxton is going to be key for them this year. I thought he was a guy that could be an MVP candidate, but again, at 5-1, I think they finish no worse than second in the division, but I think they could give the Sox a little bit of a run for their money.
Ton of young arms in Detroit, and they're going to need a lot of them to come through in the same season. Hey, they spent some money. They bring in Baez. They bring in Rodriguez as a free agent starting pitcher. I'm excited about what they're going to look like. Riley Green, Torkelson, guys with a lot of hype, a lot of potential promise. It just might be too much too soon, but if not this season, watch out for Detroit in 2023 for sure. So, okay, interesting. You went with Minnesota instead of Detroit. What about, we'll go back to the AL. You've got something on the National League Central.
Yeah, the National League Central, and this is a division I've talked about all year long and all summer long. We know the Cubs aren't going to be good. We know the Pirates aren't going to be good. And we know the Reds aren't going to be good. But here's the thing. This morning on points by Milwaukee was -176 to win the division. Mm-hmm. The Cards are +225. Look at that lineup for St. Louis. I mean, again, they can hit. I think Paul DeJong has a massive bounce back season. But you're looking at some of the bats that they have in their lineup. They have some good veterans to build around some really talented young hitters. Pitching is going to be the key. Losing Flaherty definitely hurts, but I can see the Cards contending for this division.
Heart of the lineup, very strong. If you can promise me that you're getting Flaherty for most of the season I'm in, can you promise me that? The injury that popped up with him, Reyes as well. Again, starting pitching. What about the health? Are these guys going to come through? Hey, they finished strong last year. They were a team that you were looking at. It was kind of scary. I'm like, okay, what's going to happen here with the playoffs? What'd they go, 22-7 last September? They're an older team. They're great on defense. There are some teams that can mash and have some top-of-the-rotation pitching. They just can't play any defense, like the Philadelphia Phillies. I like them. They can't play any defense. Well, the Cardinals can. You're not wrong about Cincinnati, Pittsburgh. The wins have to go somewhere. If Flaherty's injury is an issue, I know you're down on the Cubs. These wins in the Central have to go somewhere when they're playing each other. They might end up going to the Cubs. We shall see. I can't get there on St. Louis just because of Flaherty. That's the big scare there. But they always seem to find a way with the good old St. Louis devil magic. They're going to bring up names of players that we've never, ever heard of. Early odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670. The Score with weekly contributor Jim Miller here. And Jim, one other division that caught your eye. We go back to the American League. I'm glad you picked this one out because I have found myself talking about this division more than any other one. Even though there is a team tanking, it's up for grabs here. AL West, what do you got?
Here's the thing. Houston lost Correa. Mm-hmm. They're -182 for the division. Come on. The time has to come soon for the Angels. +350 right now. You have Trout. You have Shohei. You have the Shohei, the Ohtani rule this year. And this is a team, like I mentioned at the top, they're not going to be affected by weather like some other teams could. So because of that, they're going to get to play basically the schedule that you see on the calendar. At 3.5-1, this is a team that just has so much talent, has so much ability. You have two MVP candidates built in every single year. Everything has to come together, I think, for the Angels.
I love it, man. I'm on board with you. I was concerned for a moment. He's going Seattle. Everyone's talking up the Mariners. The Astros argument, it's a fair one. Now, my co-host Joe Giglio the other day on BetQL Daily, he asked me that very same question. Like, okay, isn't it time? Verlander's really old. You lose Springer, you lose Correa. Can they replace those guys? Isn't the answer
I don't think
yes?
they're going to.
Didn't they kind of replace Springer with Tucker? Aren't they kind of doing that? They still have Alvarez in that lineup. I think they're able to do it, but it's interesting to me that the majority of bettors have moved on from the Astros and they're deciphering, is it going to be the Mariners or is it going to be the Angels? A lot of people burned by the Angels a season ago and they don't want to go back to that well. And I'm with you, man. It's the Angels. They are better built this season to deal with the injuries that are likely to come. Of course, you need Trout, Rendon to stay healthy, but they didn't know that they had this Jared Walsh. They knew Ohtani was an unbelievable talent, but they didn't know he was going to be this good running away with the MVP last season. If Syndergaard can stay healthy as a two, all of a sudden that changes the entire look of that rotation. It doesn't have ultimate depth. But when you have that top five is good enough to make them a top five offense in Major League Baseball overall.
And think about this. Like you mentioned Rendon, Ohtani, Trout. Okay,
Walsh.
You can't pitch around any of them.
Right.
And if you can't pitch around any of them, it means you're going to have a whole lot of problems in a whole lot of games. So that helps your rotation too, because this is a team that could score and score early in games. When you're going out to the mound with a three-run lead, you pitch with a whole lot more confidence as well. And this is a team that's going to score a lot of runs this year. I think they could be very tough and provide a good amount of value, and it provide to me way more value than even you'll get on the Mariners.
Isn't this one of the most interesting divisions? I would say the AL West and the NL East are going to be really cool races outside of course, the local teams.
And there's so much hype on the Mets and the NL East. That's still the Braves division to lose. And I think the Braves aren't going to lose that division, but yeah, there's just been, because of all the moves, because of the free agent spending and that, there is so much intrigue. There are your handful of teams that are tanking, but they all seem to be in the NL Central. So it's one of those things where this could be a very interesting season for multiple divisions.
All right, we got you down on the three divisions that you're taking a look at this season. It's awesome because we can bet that all season long. Maybe we'll find some value with some slower starts. But what about the horses today?
All right, this is the last weekend for the major derby preps. And you know what's been interesting, Joe, is a lot of these horses are staying healthy. So because of that, you need points to get into the Derby this year. So we're going to start out at Aqueduct, race 8, the Wood Memorial, bet the 5-horse Morello to win. Then go to Keeneland, race 9, the Bluegrass Stakes, bet the 10, Smile Happy to win. And then go to Santa Anita, race 6, the Santa Anita Derby, bet the 3, Forbidden Kingdom to win. All horses with solid shots, all horses that could provide a little bit of value if they're victorious.
Jim Miller of Hawthorne Racecourse and PointsBet Sportsbook. Jim, enjoy the baseball, enjoy the golf. We'll do it again next weekend with the start of the NBA playoffs, all right?
Oh, man, what a great weekend for sports, and it just keeps getting better, Joe.
As if there wasn't enough going on, Jim reminds us that we have Derby preps happening today. We were loaded with baseball in this week's early odds, and Rick Camp has already promised he will be here next week to help me break down betting the NBA playoffs. We'll have the title odds, other sorts of futures, series prices, including the Bulls' first-round opponent. Will be fun. Follow me on Twitter at Joe Ostrowski, and please subscribe to the Early Odds and BetQL Daily Podcasts. Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw is next to talk about real baseball results, so keep it here. Make sure to cash some tickets this weekend and keep it locked here on 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
A new year is a clean slate, and this year, learning a language is the resolution that actually sticks. With Rosetta Stone, it's never been easier to start fresh. Whether you're leveling up your career or prepping for a 2026 trip, our bite-sized lessons fit perfectly into your busy day. Learn while you grab coffee or during your lunch break. It's that simple. You'll see progress fast, helping you feel more confident and connected. And because Rosetta Stone uses an immersive, intuitive method, you'll learn naturally, without memorizing boring word lists. For over 30 years, we've been the trusted leader in language learning with 25 languages to choose from, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. Rosetta Stone is the go-to tool for real language growth. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to get started and claim your 50% off today. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 and start learning today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.